As we continue our series of shiurim on kashering, there's a halacha that we've mentioned a number of times in our shiurim about kashering, particularly when we kasher with hagala. And that is that if the vessel that we're kashering has been used within the last 24 hours, and we'll explain later in our shiur, hopefully, what that exactly means, then we shouldn't kasher with hagala. And the reason is, particularly if the keli was used for something which is non-kosher, and what happens when we kasher is that the blia, the tam, that's in the walls of the keli that we're kashering, go out when we, if we now have that tam in the keli, which is a good tam, we're not allowed to eat that tam. And therefore, since we can't be sure that all of the tam went out, we can't be sure that even if the tam went out through the hagola process, some of the tam, which is usur, got reabsorbed in the vessel which we are kashering. Therefore, the halacha is we don't kasher a keli that's ben yoymer. On the other hand, once the keli is a keli she'ena ben yoymer, it's a keli that hasn't been used for 24 hours. So any tam that's found within that keli is tam pogum, because the halacha, and we'll soon explain why, it, that a tam, tam pogum, is not a problem. And the reason, and the way we know that, is because the Torah says regarding the isra of eating nevela. The pasuk says, "Vayisoichu kol nevela leger asher b'sherecha tetnenava achlo." So we learn from that. The Gemara learns from that. Nevela haruya leger, a nevela that a ger can eat, something that's edible, kruya nevela. It's considered a nevela. But once it comes to the point that it's not edible, it's pogum, ain't it kruya nevela, it's no longer considered a nevela. And therefore, the halacha is that midoraisa, a tam that is pogum, that's 24 hours already in the keli, is a tam pogum, and really doesn't affect the kashrus of that vessel. And we will, in fact, speak, if that's the case, why do we ever have to kasher? Why do we not just wait for 24 hours? What's particularly difficult, and this is a question that the Torah Tamima asks, we know, we've quoted in previous shiurim, that the halacha of kashering, we learn from the Klei Midyan, the kelim that Klai Yisrael got after they went to war with Midian. And the Torah says, those kelim have to be kashered. Ask the Torah to Mima that from when they got back from battle until they got home, there was probably more than a day. And if Midaraisa, once the time is there for more than a day, it's not a problem. So why did the Torah have to teach us to kashera? And the Torah to me indeed says that the Torah was speaking about the kalim that were not, that had been used within the last 24 hours. But indeed, the kalim that had been used prior to 24 hours wouldn't really need kashering with the raisa. It's a difficult question. The Teretz, the Ritvaz himself points out, it's highly unlikely that from when the war ended until they had the opportunity to kasher the kelim, there should be less than 24 hours. And therefore, the Ratvah says a very interesting teretz. We know that when we speak about the Rabbonans, the halacha differentiates very often between a l'chatchila and a b'dieved. Says the Ratvah, this halacha that when a keli has in it a tam pogum, it doesn't require a kashering, that's only b'diyevet. But l'chatchila, even medoraisa, a keli that has in it a tam pogum requires kashering. A very interesting teretz. Because he was speaking about a deraisa, and as we just said, typically, when we speak about deraises, we don't differentiate between l'chatchila and b'diyevet. It's either required or not required. And perhaps the reason why here, the Torah, not the way it normally teaches us the halacha, this is different, is really based, perhaps, on a very fundamental machloikis rishonim, machloikis of the Rashba and the Ra'ah, why indeed when we have a keli she'ena ben yoymai, when we have a keli that wasn't used in the last 24 hours, is kashering not really required? The Ra'ah explains that any bliya that's in a keli past 24 hours is not really considered there anymore. It turns into earth. Ka'afra ba'alma. And therefore, why are we kashering the keli? Because of the bliya of non-kosher food in it. But that bliya doesn't have an effect once it's in the keli for more than 24 hours. The Rashba is that learns differently. He says that once the bliya is expelled from the walls, so what do we worry about? There's a bliya that's coming out of the keli, and there's some bliya left. So he says that once this bliya has been in the wall for 24 hours, that bliya, and remember it's only a bliya, does not have the ability that when it comes into the new food that I'm cooking. So let's think about it. We have a pot that became non-kosher. And the bliya is in the pot for more than 24 hours. Were I to use this pot now without kashering, so what is the halacha concerned for? The halacha is concerned that the bliya will come out into the food that I'm cooking in the pot now. Says the Rashba, that if that bliya has already been in the walls of the pot for 24 hours, that time has diminished, it's become pogum, and we also remember that it's only time, it's not mamoshes, and therefore it doesn't have the ability and it's not something that we're concerned about. So certainly, if we follow the Rashba's understanding of Nois and Talmud Gam, it's very easy to understand why the Torah would require kashering even when it's a Nois and Talmud Gam. Because the way we're learning, the way the Rashba's learning, is that Nois and Talmud Gam doesn't mean that there's no bliya. Nois Talmud Gam doesn't mean that it doesn't have, that it's not Isser. It's very, very diminished, but it's not totally gone. So since it's very diminished but not totally gone, if you want to do what's really right, to do what's really right is to eliminate it entirely. How is it eliminated entirely? By going through the kashering process. So we could very well understand the Ratvaz that says here the Torah speaks about a l'chatchil and b'diyevet situation. Furthermore, and this is a very important point, whether we follow the opinion of the Ra'ah or we follow the opinion of the Rashba, the only time we can speak about Nois and Talmud Gam is only regarding a bliya in the pot. But if we have the ed, that means we have a pot that was used for non-kosher, and it's not just that we have bliyas in the walls of the pot, but there's actual remnant of the non-kosher food on the walls of the pot that got non-kosher. There is no concept of Nois Talmud Gam. Nois Talmud Gam is said strictly to the Blias, not to the Be'en. But now, the Ra'ah asks a question on the Rajba. He says, according to his understanding of Nois Talmud Gam, that after 24 hours, the Tam disappears, so to speak. It's Nasik off of Alma. So we could understand that the Kashmir, we could understand why there should be, it should be not be a problem to Kashmir. But, asked Ra, according to the Rajba, there is some remnant, so why, when we kasher, don't we have a problem of emavatam esel chatchila by going through the kashering process? So, the Riva answers, his intention is not to get rid of the Issa. We spoke about this teretz previously. His intention is to be able to use the pot to cook kosher food. That isn't called bittul issa l'chatchila. But as we said, even if we say midaraisa, there is no problem by keli she'ena ben yoima. Chazal said that one may not use a keli she'ena ben yoima without kashering. And the Noida Behuda says not only if the blia was a blia of an Issa d'oraisa, must we kasher even a keli she'ena ben yoimai? But even if it's a keli that had a blia of an Issa d'rabban. And again, looking at this halacha from the perspective of the machloikis of the Rajba and the Ra'ah. So, according to the Rajba, this halacha is very understandable. Because the halacha is saying that even though Ayin Ben Yoima says that even though there is still a bliya, but that bliya has been so diminished, but it's still there. So since it's still there, to some minimal degree at least, we want the kasher to completely remove it. But according to the Ra'ah, that says once it's there for 24 hours, we have nothing to worry about. So why do we have to go through the kashering process? There's nothing there to kasher. It became Afra Ba'alma. The answer is that Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow you to use a keli Eina Ben Yoimai without kashering, you may come even to use a keli Sheben Yoimai. A keli that's a Ben Yoimai, even the Ra'ah, certainly the Ra'ah, would hold as a problem. And therefore, to avoid any problem, Chazal said, under all circumstances, you need to kasher, even if it's a keli she'ena ben yoimai. The other mefarshim explain why kashering is required by keli she'ena ben yoimai according to the Ra'ah, because although the Ra'ah taught us that once the Bliya is there for 24 hours, once the Bliya is there for 24 hours, it becomes Afra Ba'alma. There is a concern, say the Mefarshim, that by cooking in that pot, we take the Bliya that has become Afra Ba'alma and it, so to speak, rejuvenate it. And therefore, we have the kasher. What's the nafgamina between these two explanations? So again, we essentially have three explanations why we have to kasher a keli she'ena ben yoima. One explanation, according to the Rajba's understanding, is because we haven't totally eliminated the tam, and the only way to totally eliminate the tam is through a kashering process. The other explanations are because we want, according to the Ra'ah, either because Chazal were concerned that we're going to get confused between a keli she'ben yoimai and a keli that's not a ben yoimai, and the other reason is that we're worried that even though the tam became bottle, it may get rejuvenated when we cook in this pot again. What would be the nafkamina between all of these tamim? What would be the halacha if we use the keli, the eina ben yoimai, without kashin? So certainly, if you use the keli that's a ben yoimai without kashin, there is no question that you have to, that food, unless you have shishim, would be asur, because you have a good time here. What would be if it's keli she'ein a ben yoimai? So now there's a veg nafkamina. If we say a pshat that we're concerned that the tam has been rejuvenated, so then it would be osur. If we have ever say that the entire reason is because, if we say also that the reason is because there is some tam left and we have to get rid of it, so then also, even though we kasha the keli she'ein ben yoimai, we may have a problem. If, however, we say the entire concern is just because of confusion, then maybe we could be more lenient because really it didn't require kashrut. Another nafkamina is as the Gemara that we learned here at Daf Lamed teaches us quite extensively. The halacha is that a keli cheres can't be kashrut. So what would be the halacha by kli cheres that's aina ben yoimai? If kashrut is truly required, and as we're learning, a kli cheres can't be kasher, we have no choice, and we'll have to destroy the kli cheres. But if the only reason we are kashering is only because of some gzeira, and when we don't have any option for kashering, there are mafarshim that suggest that we can be makel, if it's a kli cheres or it's a hefsa meruba. La'aloch la'maisa, the halach is that you're not supposed to kasher a kli cheres ever, and if it's any, and even when it's ena ben yoimoy, since it can't be kashered, it can't be salvaged, at least through a typical kashering process. The Chazal, however, teach us, and this is very much in line what we just described, most Rishonim, and that's the halacha, that if you had a keli that's ena ben yoimai and you kasher it, if you have a keli that's ena ben yoimai and you didn't kasher it and you use it, most Rishonim take the opinion that the food would not be osur. This heter of Eina ben Yoimai, that it becomes a tam pogum, is not under all circumstances said. If it's a vessel that has blias of wine, in Yerudeya Simen Kuf Lamed Zayin Sif Aleph, we learn that blias of wine don't become pogum even if they're there for more than 24 hours. And the reason is very understandable, because we know that wine actually gets better as it ages. It doesn't get worse as it ages. Similarly, the halacha, the Magen Avraham, in Simen Tuf Nun Aleph, Sifkot Mem, says that the same goes on for all alcoholic beverages. Alcoholic beverages don't have the halacha that they become nois tam lebgam after 24 hours. Furthermore, this halacha that we just said, that if the keli is a keli she'ena ben yoimai, but the eved, if you cook food in it, the food may be eaten, that's only if it's food that's not a davar charif, a sharp food. But if you cooked in the pot a sharp food, for example, radishes, garlic, onion, horseradish, the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Tes, that the Dovah Charif changes the Tam Pogam to be Tam Shvach, Mechayile L'Shvach, and makes the Tam Pogam into a good Tam, and therefore that food is Asur. There is a Machloikis Ho'achroinim, if this din of Dovah Charif making the Tam turn L'Shvach is it a din d'oraisa? That's the opinion of the Plessy. Or is it only a din d'rabbanon? The Plessy says it's only a d'rabbanon. I'm sorry, in the Prima Gordum holds it's a d'oraisa. And now, says the Chassam Sofer, we could understand why it's so important to kasher a keli that's ein ben yoymai, even though as we began our shir, isn't that tam a tam pogum? But now that we've explained, says the Chassam Sofer, that the tam, that heter doesn't work by kalim by food that's sharp, so how can we be sure that this vessel that became non-kosher, we're never going to use for something that's sharp? And it's very understandable why kashering, therefore, is so very required. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate, when we speak about an Eina Ben Yoymai, what is the definition of a Eina Ben Yoymai? We accept the halacha is that Eina Ben Yoymai means that it wasn't used for the last 24 hours. There are, however, Rishonim that say that Alina Slila, if it wasn't used for the last 24 hours, for the last night, it's considered like it's an Eina Ben Yoymai. Even the opinions that are lenient and say that a Linus Lila is adequate, that's only a Linus Lila, explained the Paiskin. Because for some reason, the night is what causes this chemical effect, so to speak, that whatever bleas are in the keli become pogum. But if it's a Linus, if it's only a day passed by, not a night, nobody would be mekel. Furthermore, when we speak about meis leis, there's a very big question: how do we measure the meis leis? Do we measure it from when the keli was used last, or do we measure it from the time that it was used last for Isser? Again, l'chatchila, we should measure it from the time it was used last. There are, the Beis Yosef, however, says that we measure it for all Isurim from the last time it was used for Isser, besides for Bas B'Cholov, that there we use it from the last time it was used. The Ramah disagrees, and the Ramah paskins that we always use it, we always measure from the last time it was used. Even though it was used the last time for Heter, that's when the clock starts to tick. That's when this clock starts to click. Furthermore, as we said earlier in our shiur, since this halacha of Eina Ben Yoymai, of Nois Tam of Gam, is only for Blias, if we want to do what's right, we should first clean the vessel that we want to kasher, that there should not be any be'en on the vessel. And after cleaning it well, then begin counting 24 hours. If somebody did kasher a keli ben yoyma, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the eved, it's acceptable. The Ramah says it would only be acceptable if at least the pot that I'm putting this pot into kasher, it means we have to have the big pot that it's full of water. If that pot wasn't used for the last 24 hours, or it's a pot that's used exclusively for kashering, then we could be lenient if the keli that we're kashering was a ben yoimai. Again, we're talking about a keli ben yoimai. The Shulchan Aruch says, but the evidence if you kasher a keli ben yoimai, it's acceptable. The Ramah paskins, it depends on what is the status of the path in which you are kashering. As we've mentioned in the previous year, the paskim suggest that since we're learning, you should always kasher a keli that's ena ben yoimai. And sometimes, and this particularly comes up in factory settings, they can't keep the factory down for 24 hours. So if you poigim the pot, that means if you cook in the pot hot water with detergent, so now whatever ham there is in the walls of that pot are now pogum. They're pogum from the detergent that was cooked in that pot. That is enough that it should really be considered ena ben yoimai. And as we discussed in a previous year, there are two versions of this heter. Some paiskim hold that first you have to be paigim what's in the pot by cooking water with detergent in it, by boiling water and with detergent in it, and afterwards kashering. And there are paiskim, this is the opinion cited in the name of the Chazon Ish, that says you could kill two birds with one stone, and that the boiling with the detergent accomplishes both. It's poigim whatever in the walls of the keli, and at the same time, it serves as a kashrut. Although we've had this extensive discussion about doing hagolah, and they were saying that hagolah should only be done on a keli she'ena ben yoimai. The halacha is regarding liban, which, as we've discussed, or at least briefly mentioned, what liban does is that it burns out whatever bleis there are in the walls of this vessel that we need to kasher. Since it burns out whatever bleis there are, it doesn't make a difference if those bleis are ben yoimai or ena ben yoimai, and liban may be done even on a keli that's a ben yoimai.